Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mommy Faceted Podcast, a podcast for Black moms who are juggling motherhood, career, and real life. And I'm your host, Rachel Pierre. So today on the podcast, I have a very exciting guest, Nona Jones. She is a wife, a mom of two boys. She's a pastor, a speaker, author, entrepreneur, and she also has a corporate job at Facebook. So she is very busy, and I'm so glad that we were able to get some time in to talk. A lot of the things that we talk about are going to hit home for you, I am sure. We talk about guarding our time and making sure that we have time for everyone in our family. And as an only child, Nona makes sure that she guards her time for herself. And you'll hear what exciting things she's doing about that coming up. We also talk about her past and how that has shaped and influenced her idea of motherhood. If you are not familiar with Nona's story, she is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. Her mother had mental illness, and she was really, you know, labeled a problem child at an early age, mainly, you know, because of all of these factors going on in her life. And so to see how she has overcome those things, and she really has become a voice of hope and healing. And so I really believe that this will definitely help many of us in the audience. We also talk about fulfilling visions and how that may be done through other people around us. So all of these things, I think we all can take a little bit away from. If you want to know more about Nona or get show notes for this episode, head over to mommyfaceted.com and you'll see the link for today's episode. All right, now let's get into the interview. Hi, Nona, how are you? And welcome to the Mommy Faceted Podcast.
I'm doing great. I'm excited about this conversation.
Yes, I am too. I've been looking forward to it. So glad to have you on. And I like to start off with asking everyone, before you became a mom, did you always know that you wanted to be a mother? Was it something that you planned for and dreamt about? Or, you know, were you hesitating or nervous about it? What were those beginning days like for you?
Well, so I assumed I would be a mom just because that's, you know, what I saw around me, but I had a really just not healthy childhood. And so I think, it wasn't something that I looked forward to. It was just something that I assumed would happen. There was a lot of dysfunction, a lot of trauma. My father passed away shortly before my second birthday, and my mom, she had mental illness. Her boyfriend was sexually abusive to me. She was physically and emotionally abusive. So it created this sense that I would eventually be a mother, but I wanted to be a different type of mother. So I think that experience, what it did is it birthed in me this vision that I want to be the type of mother that, you know, my children can't wait to get home, to spend time with me. I'm the fun mom. So I looked forward to being a mom, but yeah, it wasn't something I was like, I can't wait to be a mom. And then interestingly, after I got married, my husband and I, we were together for 5 years before we decided to start trying to have children. And again, we just assumed it would happen, and it didn't happen immediately. Mm-hmm. So much so that I ended up having to go to a fertility specialist, and I got diagnosed with infertility. And so, you know, here's this idea that of course I'm going to be a mom. And then it was like, actually, it's not guaranteed. So I had a bit of a roller coaster from a childhood that made me not that excited about being a mom to finally coming into the recognition that I wanted to have children and then being told I couldn't. So it was a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then the actual physical and mental change of motherhood is probably a whole nother, you know, addition on top of all those layers. So kind of how did you navigate through that? You know, you finally have your kids here, and it's, I'm sure, probably some parts surprising, some parts what you expected, some parts challenging and fun. And, you know, motherhood is all of these things. So, you know, kind of how did you kind of work through those challenges of not being like what you saw, and at the same time dealing with, you know, this new stage in your life?
Oh, wow. Well, so we actually had a scenario where my first pregnancy ended in miscarriage, as so many others have experienced. My very first time getting pregnant, it was right after I was diagnosed with infertility. And I was told that I would have to take these different medications and then I would get pregnant. And right before I even started that regimen, that's when I found out I was pregnant. And so went to the doctor. She looked and she saw when I was pregnant, she saw two heartbeats. So, you know, here we were first going from not being able to have children to then, you know, oh my gosh, we're gonna have twins. And then a few weeks later, there were no heartbeats. And so we ended up miscarrying. And so that, as the first experience of pregnancy, was of course traumatic. And I think for any mother who has experienced that, you know, it was traumatic. And then when my oldest son, when I got pregnant with my oldest son, at 26 weeks, my water broke. And I went to the doctor and I was like 8-9 centimeters dilated. Oh, and they God. Were like, you're having this baby today. Yeah. So he was born at 26 weeks and ended up in the NICU for 3.5 months. It was a very just rocky journey. We were told we were going to lose him 3 times. And so that, again, it was like that experience of motherhood was just so turbulent. And then right after he got out of the NICU, actually shortly before he was discharged, I found out I was pregnant again. And 5 months into that pregnancy, we had to deliver our son, Daniel. My water broke again, and unfortunately he didn't make it. And so, you know, we literally had to watch him die in our arms, which was just incredibly tragic. And after that situation, got pregnant again. And I'm telling you, I throughout this whole thing, like pregnancy just was not, it was not fun. It was not something I looked forward to. But we had our last child, our youngest son, and full term, healthy baby. That experience, it's so funny because like I look back on it now and I'm like, that's what pregnancy should have been, but it wasn't.
Right.
And so because of all the trauma of the previous pregnancies and the NICU and all that, even though he was born healthy and full term, the experience just wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have been able to enjoy that. But that process just made me appreciate my children so much more. Mm-hmm. To where now, I mean, you know, I have a very demanding job and, you know, very busy ministry and things like that. But, you know, I love my children. I want to be with my children so much so that sometimes I think it frustrates my husband because, you know, when I was traveling, I would come home, I would have been gone for like 4 or 5 days out of the week. And I would immediately come home and like, I want to spend time with the boys. And he's like, what about me?
Yeah, I'm here too.
Yeah, I'm here too. But that was why is I was like, all of the loss and the trauma and the pain and finally having these children, I was like, I want to, you know, make great memories with them because I don't have those memories with my mom at all.
Yeah.
So that's been super important to me. And I think that's how it's shaped my approach to motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said a lot of things that I want to kind of go deeper into. So you mentioned that you have a demanding job and we in a ministry. And so I definitely want to get into that. But just to kind of go to that balance between your spouse and your children, I'd love to really kind of work in that because I know a lot of the women in my audience are, you know, they are working and they have, you know, friends and family, and then they have their, you know, home family. And so it is hard to kind of manage people who need your attention, you know. Yeah. You know, almost equally at different times. So how did you two work through that? Or is there anything that you did specifically to make sure that every person knew that they had your, you know, your time, your undivided attention at moments when you are so busy outside of family life?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. One of the things I started actually many years ago is I started doing mommy son trips. So like once or maybe twice a year, I would just, you know, take my boys somewhere. And just the three of us would just go and just do stuff together. And my reason for that was I wanted to create memories with them specifically, where it was just our time. And then I would also have time where it would just be me and one of the boys. So, you know, my oldest son and I, you know, we would go out of town, or my youngest son and I would go get pizza. And I would just try to be really intentional about making that time. And then with my husband, you know, in many ways, he kind of got the short end of the stick because <Yeah. laughs> I was like really trying to spend that time with the boys. And I think part of that was me, again, trying to make up for what I experienced as a child. It was like, I don't have good memories with my mom. I just don't. And so I wanted to create those. But with my husband, we would try to make it a point to at least once a year, make sure that we go somewhere together, just the two of us. And then having, you know, date nights when I was in town, just trying to set aside a day for us to just go get dinner and just be us together. That's really our approach. And even during COVID, what we have tried to do is like Friday nights, we'll make that family night. So that's, you know, all of us, that's the four of us together. It'll typically be pizza and then we'll watch a movie. Saturdays are our one-on-one time with our children. So either me with my oldest or with my youngest, and my husband will have my youngest or my oldest, depending on who has who. And then Sundays are for my husband and I. So we will spend that time together. And we've been really intentional about that because, as you know, when you're in quarantine, like you're all together all the time. And so it could just become this big blob of everyone's together. So we've been intentional in that way. And that's really been helpful. It's been helpful. But we have to guard that time because even, you know, when you're quarantining, it can get, you know, absorbed into all types of other things. So yeah, that's what we try to do. And I think it's really about giving each other grace. My husband is so, he's just been so wonderfully understanding and he's just been so gracious. So much so that I say all the time, I'm like, he's just a really just good guy. You know, I would not be able to do what I do without my husband at all. I don't care how, you know, talented a person is. I don't care how, you know, many opportunities come your way. If your spouse doesn't support you, it's going to be a struggle. And he's always supported me. So that's how it's been able to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially during COVID and being at home. It is easy to just like grab your computer while you're both on the couch and then you're not even talking. You're just like,
but you're just cohabitating, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're there. So you could say you were together, but you're not really there. So having that, you know, specifically carved out time, I hope is one of the things that we can all sort of take away from this time. Yeah. And so it's great that you mentioned that support. I think we as moms think that we are doing all of these things by ourselves, and really, you know, unless you are a single mom, you know, obviously then you may have other support people, not necessarily your spouse, but yeah, just having that support and needing it. Are there other people in your circle or your community that you have really relied on, and how did you build that trust to have them, you know, really join in to help y'all with, you know, just the family aspect?
Oh yeah. I'm really blessed. My aunt, she's my mom's sister. She honestly is more like my mom. She's been such a blessing to our family. She's really stepped in a grandmother capacity to our boys. She even moved like not too far from us. She's probably about 30, 35 minutes away from us. But she did that because she wanted to be nearby our family. So she's been great. And my husband's parents, they've been just such a great support system. And that's part of the reason why, I mean, my goodness, my heart just absolutely goes out to single moms and single dads. Like, it's hard. It's hard raising children with a support system. Like, it's hard to raise children with a spouse and with, you know, grandparents involved. And so I'm just like, man, when you're on your own, like your children growing up being like healthy mentally and emotionally, that's a miracle. And so I just, the hats off to all the single parents, because it's a lot. But yeah, we're very blessed with a network that has been super supportive of us and our children.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime I have the boys by myself for like 2 hours, I'm just like, okay, when are you getting home? Where are you?
Exactly. It's like, where are you? What's going on? Where are you at?
Of course, I don't think about that when I'm walking through Target for 2 hours.
Oh, No. Yeah.
Great. So you did mention that you have a demanding job at Facebook. Well, you didn't mention it that you worked at Facebook, but you do have a very interesting job at Facebook. And then you have a ministry, you have your book and your own personal brand. So, you know, to me, all of these things are like full-time positions. And then you have obviously your personal life and your family and all of that. So I would love to just know the ways that you're making the time for all of these different roles, and more so like how do, you know, you're switching your brain from one aspect to the next, and then, you know, jumping on a plane to go here. Well, you know, probably not as much now, but, you know, jumping on a plane to go here, and you're writing and speaking and, you know, just doing all these things and switching your brain. And so I would just love to know kind of how you either compartmentalize all these things, or do you keep it all sort of, you know, cohesively sort of mapped out? Like, how are you managing those things?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I live by my calendar. We all have the same number of hours in the day. But I learned many years ago to give every minute of my day a name. So I don't have like unscheduled blocks on my calendar. If you look at my calendar, every minute of my day is assigned to something. And that's important because, you know, for example, I start my day with a workout. Well, that's on my calendar. I actually work out twice a day during the week. And so the second workout is on my calendar too. And I make sure that everything fits between all of my responsibilities and obligations. Because the reality is nothing is going to happen by chance. Like, you know, if you say, I want to write a book, but it doesn't end up on your calendar, like you're not going to suddenly just have time to write a book. So there's that. And then I'm really intentional about not wasting time. So, you know, very rarely will you see me just like laying down, watching television or watching a movie. I do that on occasion when I just need to let my mind just totally rest. But for the most part, my days tend to be structured. And what I've also found is when you want to do more than you have the capacity to do, you have to enlist the help of other people. So across my life, I mean, I have different teams of people in the different domains of work that I do that help me with different things. Some of those people are staff. Some of those people are friends. Some of those people are volunteers. You know, they have different relationships. But I just know that just because you have a vision in your heart, that doesn't mean that you're the only one that has to bring it forth. It could mean that you're the one who has the vision and you just have to, you know, galvanize other people to help you bring it to reality. So that's what I do. Like I live by my calendar. If I always tell people, if something isn't on my calendar, it isn't real. Yeah. So I tell my team, I'm like, whatever you want me to do, let's put it on my calendar. Cause if it isn't on my calendar, it literally won't happen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I tend to live my life.
Yeah. And I love that you're setting that boundary for those around you so that at least they know, you know, if this is something important that I need to talk to Nona about or get her input or whatever, that has to be that way. I think that definitely will probably cut out on a lot of confusion.
You would hope so.
So as a leader, I would love to know, you know, being that you have this, you know, this aspect of your life where you are leading people and you have to, you know, be a strong figure for those who are working with you or, you know, on your team. Are there any parts of motherhood that either you are bringing into your leadership aspect or that you are bringing from your professional experience into motherhood? Like, you know, is there anything that kind of crosses over to kind of help in one area or the other? So, you know, my audience is working moms and a lot of them are trying to, you know, get up to a manager role or be a director or own their own company or, you know, all of these ambitious things and, you know, just those skills that are needed to be successful at home and at work are something that, you know, I think we're all looking for. So any tip in that area?
Of course. Yeah. Well, I'll start with what I have learned about motherhood that I bring into my professional life. And this is really a principle of leadership, I think, is always trying to add value. So whether it's teaching my children about character or, you know, learning what they want to do and helping them, helping create experiences for them to actually explore those things, I try to bring that into my career. So as an example, I try to use if a member of my team for whatever reason doesn't live up to an expectation, I try to use that as a teachable moment. So instead of just automatically saying you're horrible, you're not gonna cut it, I wouldn't do that to my children, right? I wouldn't tell my child if they made a mistake that they're just, you know, deficient in character. I would do my best to try to help them build that character. So I try to bring that mindset into my leadership. And then also I try to help people grow into their best selves, try to create opportunities for them to learn and explore. If there are other, for example, positions they want to hold, it's like, okay, well, how do I how do I expose them to people in those roles so that they can get a feel for what that role require? So that's what I try to take from motherhood. What I try to do in the reverse and bring from my profession into motherhood is just accountability, personal accountability. And I know that, you know, we have goals and objectives within the professional space. Well, I try to have those same types of mentality when it comes to my children. It's like, we have goals and we have objectives. And just because, you know, I'm tired or they're tired, that doesn't mean that we suddenly get to, you know, abdicate our responsibility. You know, and I can use the concrete example of cleaning up, right? I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and my 10-year-old's pretty good about picking up after himself, but my 7-year-old, I tell you, it's like he just leaves things everywhere. And it's like, no, like, that's unacceptable. We have to be accountable. We have to have personal responsibility. So I try to bring insights from all sides of my life into all sides of my life so that I actually don't compartmentalize. The way that I try to think of my life is I try to live an integrated life. And so every part of me, informs every part of me, every experience that I have, I try to learn from it so that I can be a better mother, a better wife, a better entrepreneur, a better professional, better minister. And I try to apply those things.
So last two questions that I ask every guest. First is, what are you doing right now that is just for you?
What am I doing right now that's just for me? Well, it's something I've actually been doing for years. I try to read a book a week just to, you know, stimulate my mind and allow me to think differently or learn something new. And so I try to protect that time so that every night I'm reading. Sometimes I will, similar to what we said earlier with like the laptop, I'll read while I'm with my kids or with my husband, but I try to at least create that space. And also at least once a quarter, I've really been trying to, I'm an only child. So like I've been trying to get away for just a few days to recalibrate and just be with myself, have an opportunity to pray. And I'm about to do that at the end of this month, which I'm really excited about. Yeah. But that's kind of what I've been doing to try to just take care of myself, my soul, and my mind.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. And then last question is, what is the number one thing you must have or must do to keep all of the balls in the air?
I think in order to keep all the balls in the air, I truly have to have everything on one calendar. my assistant, like, she knows that, like, I have everything. Like, we review my calendar. We review my calendar in 2-week increments every Monday. And just yesterday she was like, "Woo, this week is packed." And I was like, yeah, cause everything's on my calendar. So I absolutely have to have that. And the other thing, this is something I'm starting to try to do, is I have to also just be really discriminate about my time and where my time goes and what I say yes to. Because you can get to the end of the day and realize like you poured a whole lot out, but you received nothing back and you're depleted. So yeah, that's what I have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that definitely happens more often than it should if we're not careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. This was really fun. And, you know, I've heard you speak before, but some of the things you mentioned, I didn't know. So I'm really glad that you shared just openly and honestly. I'm sure it will be great to hear for the audience.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I always love talking about mommyhood.
Hey, mama. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. For show notes and information about today's guest, head over to mommyfaceted.com. Also, make sure to follow Mommy Faceted on social media. That's Instagram and Facebook at Mommy Faceted. And there you'll find some stuff that doesn't make it to the podcast, whether that's more information about me, what's going on behind the scenes with my family, information about our guests, and other little things about motherhood that may surprise you, may encourage you, and inspire you. Also, if you have a moment, please, please, please take some time to write a review. Whether you're listening in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can write a review and let me know which guests you like, which topics you're enjoying. Just share your thoughts. If you're listening on any other player, whether that's Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you can find the podcast, make sure to subscribe so that you get notifications when the next episode comes out. All right, thank you so much for listening, and I pray you have a great week.